running two computers at the same time, you know, can have a lot of unintended consequences. How do you like Ron's fancy scroll? Oh, wait, we were going to move the... I'm going to go move the symbol because it's blocking part of your scroll, you know. See, it's bothering me. Here we go. Oh, there it is. Isn't that great? Now we'll see if it ends up in the middle. All right. Go ahead and pull out your sermon notes from the bulletin. Anybody need a pen? Joe, you need a pen? What? I have an idea, Joe. Why don't you get up and go? Okay, Judd's going to go. I'm sorry. He just had torn lateral meniscus surgery, so. Oh, 5 years ago. Okay, well. I guess he's okay. Anybody else? Judd can throw a pen at you if you need one. Put your hand up if you would like a pen. No, oh, we have a pen right down here. There we go. And the truth is, these are pens that if you don't have one and you would like to take one, feel free. We're not like the bank where we chain them to the tables or put little funny spoons on the end of them so you won't walk out. They're for you. Just don't keep taking them if we totally run out. But all right. What do you want? What do you want? What is it you desire? What is it that you crave? Because what we want says a lot about us. Sometimes what we want are things that we shouldn't want. Some of the things that we should want, we don't want. And we're going to talk about maybe how to fix that a little bit today. I've been thinking I might go for the record of the most references to Romans 12:2 in a message. I think I skipped 12:2 last week and referred to 12:3. Yeah. Close enough? Yeah. So I think, you know, I think I've managed to reference Romans 12:2 consistently for at least the past 7 or 8 weeks. So we'll probably do it again. You might catch that there's like a theme or something that I'm trying to get through to you. I don't know. Well, you can ask, what is he trying to tell us? Let's read a few scriptures together. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Shandle read the full psalm this morning, earlier this morning. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners nor sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We're going to look at that word delight in a little bit, what it means to delight in something. Let's read the next scripture. Tell me if you relate to Paul as he writes this to the Roman church. Romans 7:14 through 25. We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. Been there? And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. And it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. I can feel the Greek translator's pain in trying to. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. It's that word delight again. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to suggest to you today that there's some things that God wants to do in your life that you're not going to be able to do on your own. If you decide that you're going to try to conquer your vices, you're going to try to conquer your habits, overcome your nature in your humanness and in your own self, you're going to be really relating to this passage that Paul talks about. It's only through a supernatural work of Christ in your life that you're going to get on top of things. It's a lot of people. in this area, they're hurting. Relationships and all kinds of things that they've got them wrapped up with, you know, things that different addictive behaviors and habits and stuff that I know that people are struggling with, and they don't want to struggle. They didn't ask for it. You know, some of you remember Bob Hannes, who was the fellow that was dragging that cross across the country. Remember him a few years back? And he printed up that little brochure that said, and then the title of the brochure was, "I Never Wanted to Be a Cocaine Addict." And he talks about his addictions and how God delivered him from those addictions. And he decided to get this crazy idea to build this cross and haul it across the country and use it as an opportunity to talk to people about how God changed his life. Said he started with the cross. He literally did drag it. And he said, he had to go through a number of crosses because as you're dragging wood across the pavement, it wears down. So he finally put a wheel on it. And he wanted people to know. He said, "I didn't put the wheel on it to make it easy. I put a wheel on it so I wouldn't have to keep making crosses and dragging them across." But he was a really interesting fella and a very generous man. God had really done a work in him, and he really wanted to pass on what God had done in his heart, what God had done in his life, and what God had done in his physical body to rescue him from that body of death. Now, some of the rest of us, maybe some of you here, you don't struggle with some kind of a physical addiction, but there's something else, an attitude, some kind of a thing that really needs to be gone, but it's been there and you've dealt with it and you've even kind of got comfortable with it being there. And really, it should not ought to be there. We must learn to desire things and delight in things which our human nature doesn't naturally desire in and of itself. So this message today it's not a matter of saying just do it. There's a learning process here. There's a retraining process. Now, there's a picture, and I don't know if Louise brought that in or somebody else brought that in, that one in the classroom, you brought that in. I wasn't looking real close at it. Is it a sculpture or just a picture, a sketch? It might have been a sculpture. It's a really interesting sculpture because what you see, the top half, it's a man who's pulling off what looks to be kind of an outer layer of clothing or even skin. And the top is crystal and white and clean. And down below, as he's pulling this down, it's black and it's dark. And she's going to go get it for me so I can show you. And the caption underneath it is "born again." You get the picture of the Bible, how it talks about taking off the old self, off the old garments, the old tattered, ruined garments, and you pull that off, and it's fresh and it's clean. Have you ever been around when it's cicada bug season, when the cicada bugs leave their skin on the tree? Well, we went out one day, and I saw one hanging there, and then I realized there was the new cicada bug sitting there right on top of the skin. I mean, we'd never seen that before because they're always gone away. And so Rylan and I went, and we looked at it. It was all fresh, and the skin was all green, and it was all pretty. And so it's really kind of an interesting picture here where you have this beautiful, shiny, white kind of crystal or onyx underneath, and you can see that he's pulling himself out of this old outer casing that's dark and you can see it's tattered and it's, and you get that picture of transformation, that picture of change, that picture of what, God has done, illustrated in this sculpture. I don't know if any of you ever tried your hand at sculpture, but I can't even draw. So, sculpture isn't something that I know I'd be able to be very good at. But as we make changes in our life and as we make steps toward God, as we draw close to him and as he begins to work in us and change us, there is a retraining process as we go from new self, from the old self, to realize that we might just have to learn to desire things that are good for us, to delight in things which we wouldn't normally delight in because our humanness wants to take us somewhere else. And so there's a two-step process here. One that involves us directly and one that involves God directly. The first step of this could involve things, two D words, discipline and or determination. That is, you're deliberately taking steps toward God. sometimes, you know, in our society, things are so easy to come by. Things are so easy we have access to things, and oftentimes we want it to be automatic. And so, you know, we sit and we pray and we ask God to do things, but we haven't really disciplined ourselves, or we haven't determined. It's okay. Ron has spelling issues, he tells me, but that's okay. I spelled it wrong? Oh, okay. Okay, that's fine. That's good. You know, discipline, SC, for, okay, it doesn't matter. Okay, I just looked over and I'm thinking, what's wrong? Discipline and determination. Making the decision. Saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take steps toward God. I am going to make steps of obedience. And then when we start to do that, the second part of this is actually allowing God, because this is what God wants to do, to change our desires. Actually allowing God to change our desires, to change our heart, to continue that transforming process. Sometimes, you know, we want God to come and change something, but we're not willing to do some of what it'll take for him to make those changes. We've got to show him that we're serious, that we're going to make those steps of faith. You know, Soren Kierkegaard talks about the lion's leap, or the leap of faith. You don't know where it's going to go, but you take that step because you know that God is calling you to take that step, and it feels like you're stepping into the dark, stepping into some place you don't know where you're going, but you're making that determination to put one foot in front of the other, and I'm going to do this with God's help. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Interesting. Very common scripture. We hear it a lot. What does that mean? You mean God might actually give me what my heart desires? Seems to indicate so. But what do you think your desires would look like if you daily, consistently delighted yourself in the Lord? You delighted yourself, as we read in Psalm 1, in his law. As Paul says in Romans 7:21, my inner being delights in God's law. How might that change what you desire? Psalm 40, verse 8, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Interesting. It's God's word that changes us. The psalmist says, your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's an implication there that says when you take God's word and put it into your heart, it changes you. You can't be immune to that. You can't simply take it in and then it doesn't do anything. Psalm 119:16 says, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Never underestimate the power of God to actually change your desires or even your cravings. Never underestimate. And cravings might be a better one, because we live in a society where cravings define a lot of people. What we crave, what we want. People, they crave riches, they crave fame, they crave assurance. Sometimes we crave security. Sometimes, you know, we find ourselves where you physically crave things. I mean, the fast food places know that we crave things that we shouldn't, because they advertise those things for us, right? Yeah. And sometimes when there's a lot of good analogy that I've talked about in the past that relates to the way that we feed ourselves spiritually and to the way that we feed ourselves physically sometimes. It's good for us when we become health conscious on a physical level to retrain our bodies to crave those things that are good for us. And that's a hard one. You know, you try to convince a kid or a teenager that, you know, someday you might crave a diced salad. Are you crazy? Give me grease. They give me a big bowl of grease and pork fat. Yeah, just eat it. I told you I had that moment when I was at Pizza Hut that one day and I saw them spray that stuff around the crust and I thought, what are they spraying on there? What is that? I think it's formaldehyde or some kind of a nuclear base. I don't know. But it was shiny and it makes the crust look good, but I know it can't be good for us. You know? And there's so much connective tissue in this comparison between, you know, one of the most cancerous snack foods that exist, I guess, are potato chips. You know, I mean, we convince ourselves we're eating our vegetables, right? But how many of you like your potato chips? Yeah, they're fun. You know, you have the sort of crunchy, salty, you know, and a lot of these companies, and I don't know if we crave these things naturally or if we've grown into craving them because of their existence, you know, to the point where the more health conscious companies have tried to come up with ways to give us our cake and eat it too. They want to give us a potato chip that's crunchy but baked and healthy. So it satisfies the crave. You know, we've learned to crave things that are bad for us, and then we try to substitute those for things that taste like the things that are bad for us but aren't as bad. It was like the fella that he had given his heart to the Lord and really had felt convicted about drinking his beer, and so he had been buying near beer. You're familiar with near beer? This tastes like beer without the alcohol, I guess. And he had it in the fridge, and his son was asking him about that. And his son said, "Hey, Dad, can I have some?" "No, you can't have any." He said, "Well, it's not real." He says, "Yeah, I know it's not real, but I don't want you to develop a taste for the real thing." And then he had a little revelation moment there. I'm substituting this for something that I felt convicted about because it tastes like the thing. And he thought, you know what? If I'm not gonna do that, I might as well just not do it. Didn't want his son to taste the near beer because he didn't want him to develop a taste for the real thing. What does it mean to delight in something then? To delight ourselves in the law of God, to delight ourselves in the Lord. We delight ourselves in a lot of things, and usually it's not God. It's other things that may be benign, other things that may not be good at all. But the Hebrew definition of the word delight is simply to take pleasure in or to desire. To take pleasure in or desire. And the thing about that is that's a difficult thing to fake, isn't it? I mean, it's like, you know, you have to pretend you like, you know, someone when you go to the family reunion. Or at least be civil. There's really not a lot of pleasure or desire there. Well, there might be the wrong kind of desire, but, you know, that would have been a good spot for that commercial. Okay, maybe next time. See, what we want, what we desire, what we take pleasure in speaks volumes about what's actually in our hearts and minds. And so really what I'm asking you to do today is to do a little heart check, a little soul check, a little internal soul searching, and think this week, what are the things that I desire? What are the things that I invest myself in? What are the things that I take pleasure in? Because if you were to do that honestly with yourself, you know, prayerfully before God and say, God, I really want to take an honest look at my life. And I want to look at the things that I take pleasure in, the things that I desire. And let's talk about how much redeeming value those things have. Am I desiring, delighting, taking pleasure in things that I know will draw me closer to God and things that I know will build me up and help make me become the person that God wants me to be? Or am I taking pleasure in and delighting in things that really are, maybe they're a waste of time, you know, maybe it leads me into apathy and lukewarmness? You know, I want you to really look at that this week and really examine yourself. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about changing our appetites, allowing the Holy Spirit to give us a hunger and a thirst for things that we wouldn't normally desire. Being willing to enter into a retraining process. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." To hunger and thirst. Now, the interesting thing about hunger and thirst as a physical reaction, you know, in order to be hungry, you've got to be hungry. And in order to be thirsty, you've got to be thirsty, except for the snack companies. They figured out a way to make you think you're hungry maybe when you're not, and thirst when you're not. Anyway, that's another story. But when spiritually, hunger, thirst, can't fake those real well. We can't fake those real well. What does it mean to hunger then? Well, looked up the words in the New Testament Greek, literally to famish or crave. Famish or crave. There's that word crave again. Interesting. God wants us to be famished for, to crave righteousness, to crave being right with Him. Thirst, to desire, to drink, and again, a craving. Yeah, might have entitled this sermon today, you know, learning to crave God, or learning to crave His Word, to crave a connection with His Spirit. You know, we were created by God to have that connection with Him, and we go through most of our lives recognizing that it's there, but not really pursuing that in all its fullness. And we crave other things, but we don't crave we don't crave a closer walk with God. We don't crave that right standing with God. What I want to suggest to you today is that you've got to want that righteousness. You've got to want that right standing with God. No, you've got to crave it in order to truly gain it. Because if you don't crave it, you're not going to go after it. Have you ever wanted something so bad you were about willing to do whatever it took to get it? I think part of the problem, and this is my opinion and my theory, you know, we have it good in this country. Even the worst, even those of us that are the worst off are blessed. Oftentimes blessed with a warm place to sleep, regular meals, even a certain amount of income, relationships, a certain amount of comfort that we've come accustomed to. And so everything is supplied. There's not a whole lot that we need. The song that Laura and I sing sometimes, it says, this world has everything I could want and nothing that I need. When a Christian in a country that persecutes Christians and throws them in jail, perhaps tortures and even kills them, decides to pursue God, it's because they have a craving for something deeper that isn't offered by their society, it's not offered by their relationships, and they crave God in spite of the backlash that will occur to them socially, politically. I think statistically 80-90% of all Chinese pastors has been in prison at one time or another. But the church in China grows rapidly. People giving their hearts to God because they've counted the cost and they crave that deeper relationship with Him. So the harsh truth is, you know what? Maybe we don't want or crave God like we should. We might have to begin by making ourselves want right standing with God. How do we do that? That's where that twofold process comes in. In our society, where there are a lot of things we know we should do, we don't always want to do, there's a little bit of discipline that comes in where we do what we know we're supposed to do because it's right. So one way that we can begin to retrain our appetite, to make ourselves begin to crave the things of God. Well, the Bible says to taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How many of you enjoy sampling new and exotic cuisine? Not very many of you. Just okay, a few. Good. Okay, good. Good. Let's see your hands. How many of you enjoy new and exotic cuisine? Okay, great. If it's new, I want to try it. How many of you are steak and potatoes, and let's stick with that? Okay. I'll pick on Joe a little bit here because he's down in the front. One of those times we had a missions fellowship, and Louise made some baklava, which is a Greek dessert. And I encouraged Joe, you need to try this, Joe. He said, I don't know. Anything I can't pronounce, I don't like to eat. But I said, Joe, trust me, there's a lot of sugar in it. And I know ranchers, they have their sweet tooth, right? So we went ahead and cut it out, all those little layers of the different pastries in there and all the sugar and the nuts and everything else. And anything Louise makes from scratch, you know, is going to be restaurant quality. I mean, she could have gone down to, you know, Papa Gino's Greek store, you know, and sold the baklava there. And they said, oh, Mama Mia. No, anyway, that's Italian. Anyway, I don't know what I'm doing. Doesn't matter. They know it would have been great. So we sliced it, and high praise from Joe. This is pretty good. I said, I knew you'd like it. I always tease people that don't like to experiment with their food. I said, but what if your favorite food is out there and you haven't tried it yet? I know squid's a little bit crazy, but you know. The fact is, taste and see that the Lord is good. Why aren't we craving God? Maybe we've forgotten what he offers. Maybe we've not really tasted the depth of how he wants to change your life. And so we've got to make a step. We've got to taste and see. And there was a time, you know, I crave cilantro. Helen's looking at me like, You know, it started with, we'd go to Angela's Eatery, the Mexican restaurant in Chattern, and I loved the salsa there because of the cilantro. And so Laura started growing these herbs in the kitchen, and I would go by, and I love the smell of cilantro. I love the taste of cilantro. It's okay, you can shake your head at me. I just want to make an illustration. All right. I go in the backyard, Diana's growing it in our garden, and when it rains, it's just, I love the flavor and I love the taste. And it's almost like, you know, I never would have had that craving if I had never tasted it before, but I love cilantro. And I think to myself, you know, if we were really to taste and see what God has to offer, you know, have we really truly tasted what God wants to do in our lives? A step of obedience toward God shows at the very least that you have a desire to develop or to have that hunger and thirst. Maybe you're not hungry yet. Maybe you're not thirsty yet, but you're going to taste. You're going to take that step of obedience toward God. This is called faith. Remember, we're going to try to retrain ourselves here to hunger and thirst after those things which will help us become what God desires of us. Then God meets us. He meets us right there when we take that step and he begins that process of transforming our desires. Now, for some of you here today, maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. For you, that first step is going to be, you know, entering into a relationship with Christ in a way that you don't totally understand, but that's going to be your step. Some of the rest of you here, maybe you've known the Lord for a while, but you've allowed yourself to become a little lukewarm, a little apathetic, and you realize that you have not been benefiting from the banquet table that God has laid out for you, and you've been kind of over in familiar territory, comfort zone, not tasting of what God wants to nourish you with. Read a few scriptures, and then we'll wrap this up. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 puts it this way, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose," or as the New King James puts it, "to will and to do according to his good pleasure." Scott Wesley Brown years ago had a song, "Please Don't Send Me to Africa." And he was singing to the Lord, "Please don't send me to Africa. I don't think I've got what it takes. I'm just a man. I'm not a Tarzan. Don't like lions, gorillas, or snakes." Of course, it's a silly song. Some of us are afraid that we're going to get called to the mission field because we don't think we've got what it takes. We don't think we want to do that. I mean, sometimes we've even been taught that if you don't want to do it, you better watch out because God's going to make you do it. I don't really believe that's in God's nature. However, there is a part of God that is able to work in us when there is something that we need to do and we're not wanting to do it. There's a trust thing that happens there when we submit to God and we're obedient to him. Don't be surprised that God wants to change your heart, change your desires. Because there are people that didn't think they wanted to do that. God did call them. They fought it, but then they did it. They ended up being the most fulfilled, happy, and successful at what that was that God called them to do as they ever would have been. Because God did a work in their heart. And they loved what they did, loved the people that they ministered to, and God was faithful to will in them to do his good pleasure. Don't underestimate the power of God to change your heart, change your desires. In Psalm 103, David is reminding himself, going through that process of reminding himself, bless the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Praise his holy name, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Reminding himself of the reasons he needs to praise God, even though he might not feel like it. You know, knowledge and wisdom go a long way to helping us understand what God has done. And you look at the list, what has he done? He's forgiven our sins, he's healed our diseases, redeemed our life from the pit, crowned us with love and compassion, satisfies our desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's a great promise. Read that a little bit this week and taste that morsel. Taste it. You got to be one of those people that's willing to chew the food and taste it. How many of you are kind of people that eat your food in 3 seconds between two? Yeah. Taste it. Chew on it. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Is that a bit of, is that some truth there that you can chew on? Romans 12:2. There it is. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And finally, Galatians 5:16, Paul says, so I say then, live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. What are you living by? Look, God wants to do a work in your life. One that you may not even be aware that he desires to do. But we have a tendency to kind of keep God in a box, even though he's the creator of the universe. And the song, I Surrender All, really does become I Surrender Some. Or I Surrender Those Things That I Don't Want to Have Control Over, But I'll Keep These Things Here. And as a result, we miss out on everything that God wants to do in the fullness of what he desires to work in your life. Are you willing to take that step of faith and continue to walk towards God, trusting that he will change your heart, change your desires, to long after and hunger after those things which will help you become what he wants you to be, so that you'll be effective to reach others and have them taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's stand. Lord, thank you for everyone here today. Your faithfulness to us. The fact that you who have begun a good work in us promise to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. You're not going to leave us hanging. You're not going to leave us unfinished. When we're faithful to you, you will take us and you will change us and you will faithful to transform us as we obediently move closer and closer to you, as our heart and our desires and what we want becomes more closely aligned with what you want and what you desire. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, as we taste and see that what you have to offer is good, that we will continue every day to grow in our hunger, to grow in our thirst, to grow in our craving for everything that comes from you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Look at the person next to you and say, don't forget to try the squid. No, I'm just kidding. God bless everyone. Have a great week.